we'll get this rolling? Okay. Make sure everybody's got their... It's 5:30. I call to order this Monroe Public Schools Board of Education Special Workshop. Today is Monday, February 10th, and the time is 5:30. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Heck.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Mrs. Myers.
Here.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Here. Can we please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, tonight for tonight's agenda, we really have only one major topic, and that is the discussion of the elementary school restructure. Just to let everybody know, we're going to look at this in roughly six different parts. First, there's been some questions and requests for information from the board from previous work sessions. Superintendent Shaw will address any additional questions related to those from the board members. Second, we've had a request from some teachers from Raisinville to speak. We allow them to speak. Third, we have a former principal from Monroe Public Schools who has experience with 5-6 grades, Mr. Griffin, who will speak. Then we've had emails and letters that have come in through our website and internet site that we'll address some of those and get those on the public record. And then public commentary. If you haven't already filled out a form, please fill one out and give it to Jamie at the end of the board here, please. And then last, we'll have board comments. Just one last thing is, typically we have a pretty strict 3-minute limit on commentary. Tonight we will be a little bit lax with that because we know everybody has some comments they want to get on this. It's important that we hear everybody and fully understand the public's sentiment on this. So we will be a little bit lax on that tonight as well. Okay, with that saying, I will turn it over to Superintendent Shaw relative to any information that still needs to be supplied to the board.
All right, thank you very much, sir. So from our last workshop, board members had requested information, and so we had supplied those in your board briefs, and it had to do with staffing, and so staffing numbers were provided. I think that was the main one right there, and the other one was, I believe student count was one other. And so with that, was there anything else so that any of our board members needed that was not supplied to your question that you had?
I asked for some of that, and Cindy and I already had a conversation about this. The student data that was provided was probably a 0.2 on your, what do you call that, lettering. It was so tiny, even a micro, I couldn't read it with with the magnifying glass. So that was supposed to be on the discussion for tomorrow, the staffing. So I have requested that that be in something that is at least an 8-point font. So we can use it and address any staffing concerns tomorrow. So I don't have that prepared tonight.
Okay. Were there any other questions that board members had that materials that were supplied to you, anything that you need clarity on from any of the prior questions that have been raised?
Okay, hearing none, the Raisinville teachers who had requested to speak, are you going to have a spokesperson, or are each of you?
We're going? Each going to speak, if that's okay.
That's fine.
We have some stuff we're going to pass out.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
Got it under control. They got it. Yeah. Okay. Before we formally start, just to give you a little preview of what's in the binders. You'll see a cover letter from all four of us in the beginning. After the cover letter, you'll see some parent input, a couple emails, and then some comments that we've either received personally or from things that we've seen on Facebook. The last part is a research, some articles, some good articles that we've used to kind of compile what we're going to present to you today. Okay? All right. Good evening, Superintendent Shaw and our Monroe Public Schools Board of Education. My name is Jennifer Sales, and I have proudly served this district for 12 years. 9 of those 12 were spent at Arborwood, and the last 3 have been spent at Raisinville. We as teachers are grateful to have a platform to voice our thoughts and concerns regarding the proposed 5th and 6th grade building design. Myself, as well as the fine educators beside me, have come to respectfully share those areas of concern with you this evening. We hope you listen with open hearts and minds and know we love the students and families we serve, both past and present. To be completely transparent, we felt hesitant to speak tonight. I'm sure you can understand our anxiousness, but you should know that staff members have been made to feel that sharing opinions is, for the lack of better words, frowned upon. As public servants, we must advocate for students and families. As teachers, and for some of us, as parents of this district, we have a unique perspective on the needs of children. After reading the article published in the Monroe Evening News, we thought we needed to gather research and information to share the very real and very possible negative impacts this move could have on student achievement, enrollment rates, teacher retention and morale, parent and community satisfaction, and more. Change can be scary, but rushed change with loose ends and unanswered questions can be even more alarming. Both of my children attend Raisinville, where I currently teach 5th grade. My son is in 4th grade this year, and my daughter is in young fives. My son and daughter have made impactful connections with teachers, staff members, and students in our building, ranging from young fives to 6th grade. The saying, it takes a village, is the perfect way to describe a school building in regards to supporting its K-6 student population. Children need a community of caring, experienced adults who are invested in their academic success and general well-being. People who have worked to build and foster positive relationships. Students who feel seen, heard, and cared for, who feel a sense of belonging, generally perform better academically than those who do not have that same experience. Being at Raisinville and having lived the life of a K-6 building model my entire career, I can say that this building model does just that. It creates smooth transitions from one grade to the next. Our 5th and 6th graders can grow and mature in a familiar environment, which provides a longer period of stability and familiarity. This allows for those strong relationships with teachers and peers to prosper. This also leads to better social development, building their skills and confidence before heading to middle school. Students have numerous opportunities to visit former teachers when they need an extra boost of support. It allows our older students to practice leadership roles within our buildings, especially with younger students. All of this has been shown to minimize the stress of a major school change during this critical developmental period for our students. One last reason I am in support of a K-6 building model is specifically for my son's academic and social growth and success. My son is on the autism spectrum and also has ADHD. He, along with the rest of our neurodivergent population of students, thrive on routine, familiarity, and positive relationships with support staff and teachers. My mama heart is at ease knowing that my son still has 2 more years at Raisinville to improve his social skills, grow in academics, and foster his independence. This will result in him truly thriving when it is his turn to head to middle school. I do not feel he is ready to be pulled from the safety and security of a familiar environment. I know the disconnect for him would be very real, and there would be a regression in his knowledge, the knowledge he has gained, and the skills he has acquired. As a school district, we must Maslow before Bloom. The saying refers to the idea that educators should meet students' basic needs for safety and belonging before expecting students to conquer more challenging academic tasks. This work was inspired by Benjamin Bloom, who developed a theory around how children learn called Bloom's taxonomy, and Abraham Maslow, an American psychologist who states that our actions are motivated by our physiological needs. The buy-in for academic success is there if students feel safe, supported, and cared for. Moving students to an intermediate building during such a critical time in child development would be more detrimental in the long term than beneficial. Thank you for your consideration of the points that I've shared in making your decision, and thank you for your time. I will hand it off to Dawn Kimball to share her thoughts on the teacher's perspective.
Good evening. I'm Dawn Kimball. I am a 5th grade teacher at Raisinville. I have taught for 28 years with 18 at Monroe Public Schools. Recently, a Monroe News article gave a one-sided viewpoint of the ongoing proposal was published. I am here with these three ladies, and the voice is unheard. I will be talking about staffing and teacher retention. Schools implementing major changes without clear staffing plans often face higher teacher turnover, negatively affecting student outcomes. Currently, we do not have enough bus drivers, custodians, certified general teachers, and certified special ed teachers to fill the current positions for this school year. The result of this plan will cause families to transfer out of Monroe schools, teachers leave the district, or early retirement. The consensus of the senior teachers is to move will cause lower morale and is generally seen in a negative light. Certification. Unfortunately, the teaching profession has changed over the years with overworked, unsafe schools, classroom overcrowding, and the ever-changing curriculum. Now we're adding another unnecessary burden of asking teachers to move within buildings or even across the district with limited time frame due to ongoing construction. Again, this transition comes at the expense of the teachers, the staff, the custodians, and families. Will a teacher be expected to change building every year to stretch the needs of the school district? When thinking about a fifth, sixth school, intermediate school, the majority of the teachers are not certified to teach sixth grade when it comes to an elementary certification. In closing, the administration has mentioned that they're willing to work with the teacher union to keep seniority a priority. However, Mr. Shaw and Ms. Joseph visit our schools in the fall to rally support for this 5-6 intermediate school plan. They mentioned that educators with expertise is not fairly distributed across the district. And what a wonderful opportunity for an inexperienced teacher to work alongside an experienced teacher. That indicates that teachers would not have a say in where they wanted to work. And another huge impact on families and students in the elementary schools. This will be the third time in 15 years that there's been a major shakeup in the elementary here in Monroe, with little to no positive impact due to the history of the previous two. The promises, the needs of students and families are with smaller class size and more general support staff for grades 4 through 6 grades. The last two times the promises were made, the administration failed to increase classrooms for those grades. The same old promises have come through, either due to expenses or due to the lack of certification. If there will be no benefit to this, leave us alone. As one of the educators with expertise, I worked my way up from the closing of Christiancy, launched the new Arborwood, had been there for 10 years before returning in over to Raisinville. The issue is not the spread of expertise, but the retention of stable schools and enough certified teachers to lower classroom sizes so teachers already can be effective. Instead of rewarding teachers and staff for dedicated service, we are expected to pack up on a whim rather than address the actual issue that leads people wanting to leave. Thank you.
All right. Hi, my name is Elizabeth Deck. Most people in Monroe know me as Libby or Mrs. Deck. And I am currently a teacher at Raisinville, and I teach sixth grade. And this is my 20th year here with Monroe Public Schools. I have never been to a work session before, and I certainly was not expecting an audience. And I have so much respect for all of the teachers that are here, that are here to voice their opinions, even if their thoughts may be different than ours. And I hope that there's no ill will with what we have to say. With that being said, within the 20 years that I have loyally taught for Monroe Public Schools, it's been some of the biggest changes in education in American history. From closing, I think it was 5 or 6 elementary schools, to changing district lines year after year after year, to COVID-19. So my experience may be unlike other professionals that are currently working in Monroe Public Schools, and the board is a different board from when these decisions were made. I was there when Hollywood closed and Arbor Wood opened, and right there from the beginning. When we started, we had, I believe, 5 fifth grade classes and 5 sixth grade classes all in one building. And from the experience there, it was decided that it was a lot. It was a lot of tension. There were some situations between students, and it was decided then to separate the fifth and sixth grades between buildings. Another administrator came, and she wanted to try again, and we did. We tried again. We tried to have all the fifth and sixth graders together at the South Building, and then again, it was decided that we were going to move. We were going to separate fifth and sixth graders at that time, and then I was moved again to the North Building. So if you have any questions about how all of that went down, you can talk to any of the fifth and sixth grade teachers that were there during that time to give you any answers to during what had happened during that time. I'm also here to speak on parents' behalf. I have had lots of parents reach out to me with questions, and I don't have all the answers. So I told them that I would write down their questions, along with other teachers' questions. There were several teachers from every building that reached out and had concerns. And so I gathered up all of the questions that they had, and I put them into a list of things to think about. One, parents were upset because Arborwood does not have air conditioning. They did not want their fifth and sixth graders to go to a building that is not up to how it should be. Now, maybe that has changed since then. Like I said, I do not know. I said I would bring forth questions. Two, teacher certification. For example, my certification is for K-8 self-contained. So what that means is I can teach all the core subjects, but I am not allowed to switch with other teachers. I'm not allowed to teach other core subjects. I can't just teach all language arts or all math. I'm not supposed to. So with that being said, the question for some of the teachers were, would this building, because the intention is to switch with other teachers, will this be for middle school teachers that have that certification? So there were some questions about that. One parent was upset. Well, actually, it was several parents. They were upset because there was no parent survey. They wondered, where was the parent survey? One parent asked me where the information was about this on the Monroe Public Schools website because she couldn't find it. And then I went and looked, and then I couldn't find it, and I directed her to Facebook. I said, well, it is on Facebook if you want to see that. And she said, well, I don't have Facebook. So she said, and I apologize. These are not my words, and I mean no ill will or disrespect to anybody. But she said, I get an email, a phone call, and a text message every time school there's a half day or a delay, but I've not received one text message about this. Then the amount of change that Monroe Public Schools has already gone through in the last 15 years, some teachers just want some stability. They want just to see how things are going. The foundation has been made, and then maybe we could just see and watch our students grow and prosper with what we have already created. Then there are more teachers that were asking, where is a teacher survey? Some teachers do not feel comfortable voicing their opinion to other teachers because a lot of other teachers, they feel intimidated. And so they were hoping for an anonymous survey so that teachers could also say what they wanted to say. Parents were also worried about siblings. With the different times that kids would be getting on and off the bus, they need their siblings there to help them get on and off the bus, and sometimes there aren't parents home for that. So there were a lot of worries about making sure that siblings were together and not in four different buildings. One parent said, I would literally have my four kids in four different buildings, and she was very upset about that. And then finally, financially, a lot of parents have stated that they would look into Triumph or other private schools in the Monroe area, and how could that take a hit on Monroe financially? So there's a lot of questions that parents and teachers have, and without that, these answers to these questions and the data that we have given you guys, we just think that instead of causing a huge disruption, that maybe we could see where we're going, and we're already on a solid foundation, scores are already improving, that maybe we could see how things go instead of jumping to the next big thing. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Ashley Shishelli. I teach second grade at Raisinville. This is my second year at Raisinville. Previously, I taught 7.5 years at Arborwood. And I like to continue saying how much I love Monroe Public Schools. I've dedicated nearly a decade of my life to this district and the families it fosters. However, I'm also a parent of 3 MPS students. I'm their best advocate, and it was with the utmost respect that I expressed my and other parents' concerns about the proposed transition to a 5-6 intermediate building. As parents, we are deeply concerned about how this will impact our children. We are concerned over academic loss, maturity, and logistics. A concern I have is lack of maturity amongst our 5th grade population. These students have had the safety and consistency of the elementary setting, a place where they can build leadership skills and become mentors for their younger peers. The elementary setting nurtures their independence and also provides the family and community guidance to become well-rounded people. Building community in schools is paramount to its success. At Raisinville, Mr. Hopper and his staff have worked for years to create a rich community that supports all learners. This sort of family is not created easily, and it doesn't happen in a short span of time. It has required dedication and a team of people who all agreed on a mission to serve its families. In a 5-6 building, I do not think there is enough time to foster the trust of families and community. This is a pivotal time in adolescence, a transition from children to teenagers. In this time, I think children need people surrounding them who know them, know their families, and understand this vulnerable era of their lives. It's no secret that students today have access to more information than ever before. Do we want to push them to grow up even faster than they already are? We have the opportunity to hone in on their strengths and build up their weaknesses in a place where everyone cares about them and have watched them grow up. My oldest child has had the opportunity to go through elementary through the 6th grade. She has flourished from this experience. She has built solid relationships with her teachers and staff. Her growth in maturity, confidence, leadership, and academics, I attribute much to the caring adults throughout her elementary experience, some of which are here. Mrs. Turner. I want this experience for my younger children. I do not want them to be lost in the masses for a short period of time when they have the opportunity to learn from the family they know and love at their elementary building. If the board decides to move forward with this change, I implore you to take more time to act. Many families will be affected by this transition, and we owe it to them to have a well-thought-out and detailed plan. We are serving our community in the most instrumental way. Parents are trusting us with the most important humans in their lives. We owe them empathy, transparency, and diligence. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, Gary, if you'd like to speak.
Sure. I'm not used to being on the clock, so thank you for not limiting me to 3 minutes. My name's Gary Griffin. I'm the oldest of 6 Monroe High School graduates, and there's 3 more in the pipeline coming through. My interest in this, finding out about this 5-6 building is because my youngest granddaughter is in the 4th grade at Manor, so she would be affected if this comes into place. I'd like to mention that I have been in public education for 38 years. I was a middle school teacher for 14 years, and I was a principal in 5 different school districts, including Monroe Middle School, where I was up until a few years ago. I guess I'd like to first of all say that I think one of the benefits, and I'm not trying to go against anybody from Raisinville, I'm really outnumbered here right now, but I know one of the major benefits would be to more equitably distribute the students as far as class size, because I do know that over in elementary schools you have differences as far as class sizes, and that would be one way you could balance that out. So that has to be something that, you know, do you decide if that's something that's important or not? Another thing, while I was at Monroe Middle School and also when I was at the middle school in Flat Rock, there were 2-person teams in the 6th grade, and I felt, as the teachers did, that once it was in place, that was ideal, because the teachers did have an opportunity to collaborate on a daily basis, and as your plan is set up, those teachers would have a planning period that would be together, like for 45 minutes or whatever it would be for planning purposes and so forth. Also, I think in their very rare occasions when I was at the middle school and in the sixth grade, if we had two students that were in conflict, you know, that does happen every once in a while, you could move them from one class to the next without having to give them a brand new teacher. In other words, you just change their classes so they wouldn't be with the same person that they're having a conflict with. I think also the two-person team, you have the opportunity to adjust your daily schedule any way that you want to. If you need a lot more time for math and so forth, you can do that. And I think the biggest thing, even though that could be some issues as far as certification, my oldest son happens to be a teacher on a sixth grade team in another district, and he's responsible for teaching two sections of math and two sections of English, and then the other teacher has the social studies and science. And that works out well from the standpoint that he's only responsible, you know, for designing curriculum and teaching in two areas rather than the whole spectrum as far as all the opportunities that there are in that class. And I think, even though it sounds different, there's going to be a difficult transition any time a student moves from one building to the next, whether it's going from fourth grade to sixth grade to the middle school, which is a big transition, going from a fourth grade to a fifth grade at Arbor would also be a big transition. So I think there's going to be an issue with that, no matter if it stays the same or whatever. I also think that that the facility itself at Arborwood, I think, is ideal from the standpoint of having a full-size auditorium and a full-size gymnasium. I think those are ideal for the older kids, which I don't think would necessarily be as much of a benefit as it is currently to the lower elementary kids that are in that building. And I find, through my own experience with my wife, who was an elementary teacher for 30 years, is that there were issues on the bus when you had kindergarten students and sixth grade students together, that you learn a whole new kind of vocabulary from the older kids, or if you're a younger elementary kid. And also, I just think that having fifth and sixth graders together, I think that's a more cohesive unit than if you have K through six. So those again are just my past experiences and my thoughts on that. I have one other issue that I will bring up later on that's not necessarily related to this, but it does have to do with a previous workshop I was at. So I'll hold on until, see if there's time for that later on, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Gary. Okay, next we have received some emails and letters.
Yep.
Superintendent Shaw, do you want to speak to that?
I do. Thank you. So we did receive emails from different, starting back in October, from different community members, and much of what we've heard already tonight is echoed in these emails, either for or not for the redesign. One of the emails that come in talked about the 17 years ago and the changes and the change over time and asking for us to stay and just stop the shuffling was the main point of that email. Another parent took part in the parent meetings and talked in terms of that, walked into the meeting thinking that they were 100% convinced that it wasn't going to happen, it shouldn't happen, but then after that meeting felt that was a positive meeting for them, and that they viewed that this was a good direction for us to go. And that one was back in November. Another parent, and I'm doing these by order of how I received them, okay? So don't think I'm stacking them up and or doing anything manipulating, okay? So just sharing that these are in order of how they came in. Another parent of a student from one of our buildings, just thank you for the time that we had sharing with the parents in these meetings, and appreciate it, and is thrilled for that opportunity. Parent of a student, and these are brand new parents, and they live in the community and came in and took part in one of the meetings and are excited for the prospect of the future at Monroe Public Schools and the addition of a 5-6 building there. Another parent, and this one was an interesting one because this parent actually, all of these helped us a lot because I want to say thank you to our Raisinville teachers too because we have been listening, okay? When we read all this stuff, we are listening. And this parent is highlighting here, each transition requires students to adjust to new environments, routines, and peer groups, which can lead to increased anxiety and stress. And this is a parent that's been through that because they're a fellow, another educator in another school district. By keeping the number of transitions at a minimum and fostering a unified K-6 community, we can significantly improve student outcomes and well-being. And so that parent brought out that you have to have those points right there. Another parent is concerned in the number of how many transitions we would have here. Younger siblings, as was already brought up, and having potential for them to step in and help out. Also asked about how the building is going to run with a typical middle school. And we know it's not a middle school, it's the concept of an elementary, so it's not the middle school atmosphere. It is a carrying on all that's going on in our elementaries forward into it. They did ask in this one, for example, having two middle schools. And the problem, as we shared with that, is the inequity between the two buildings, that they're both very much different there. When you look at the middle school that we currently have, has a pool. South does not. You look at the size of the gym. You look at all those parts, so they're not equitable. So having two middle schools would not be considered fair. Now I'm just going to read a much longer statement. She's talking about each grade once a month gets a presentation. This is back at Raisinville. They have so many outside of school activities that my children look forward to like the cozy reading camp in June, and the movie nights, dance parties, skating parties, and trunk or treat. Will these activities still take place? Mind you, these are still young kids from age 10 to 12. They still need these activities, and they look forward to these activities. And so as we had shared in our other meetings, that those activities, not particularly an example like the cozy reading camp, that may not still be there at the fifth, sixth grade, but it could be. I don't have that answer.
Why don't you wait till he's through?
Can we just read the letters and then we can address, because some of the commentary outside of the letters, you know, I think that we just read the letters and let the people's voices be heard and then respond to their information later, I think it'd be beneficial. Sorry, my mic wasn't on.
Okay.
Let's just read the letters and go through what the people said, not our opinion of what they said. I think it would be fair.
Some of these are pretty lengthy.
He can just pick out what he wants.
That's what I was doing.
That's what he's been doing.
I think what she's saying is just summarize what the parents or teachers are saying rather than speak to how.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Thank you. I appreciate that clarity right there. So she talked about this one also asked about Waterloo. Will the work be done at Waterloo and for time for next school year? And so our next parent, lots of questions in regards to how will fourth graders adapt, adjust, and feel a sense of belonging. And I'm going to actually, for this one, I'll just open up and read that. I'd like to express my concerns for the 5-6 building that is being proposed and currently reviewed. I have a third grader at Raisinville. I selected Monroe Public Schools 3 years ago for her, even though we live in another school district. Honestly, I don't feel that parent input is going to matter, as I feel that the MPS administration made up their mind about this building long before it was presented to the public. But I also feel that I need to be a voice for my younger daughter. I think MPS had parents vote. I think if MPS had parents vote on the new building, it would fail. Parents and staff members are extremely unhappy, but feel that it's a waste of their time to tell you why. I too feel this way, but since the board delayed a decision on the building, I wanted to give you my perspective. First of all, MPS cannot answer questions with a direct answer. They have no plans on how this building is actually going to run effectively. The children entering the 25-26 school year are nothing other than an experimental group. I reviewed the Q&A sheet and found it to be nothing other than answering questions with a broad statement that contains no real details of anything asked. I've included some examples, and examples were fourth graders adapt, adjust, feel a sense of belonging in the 5-6 building? How will transportation be affected by the new configuration? Will bus schedules and routes be adjusted? How will smaller class size be maintained? Why is this decision timeline so fast? There is absolutely no research that shows a 5-6 building is beneficial. And then also talk about, like, at Raysville, what happens to Spanish? How many classrooms, how many teachers, how many support staff? And what is the approximate number of students on a bus route? Another parent echoed very similar statements to the last one. We are taking away the opportunity to build a leader of having our 5th and 6th graders there still at the elementary. Every school has more than one classroom for 5th and 6th graders. Why can't switching classes happen within the current setup? Then why is no research support this? Clear loss of opportunities and lack of planning. I'm concerned about how this change will affect the students of MPS, especially our current 4th and 5th grade next year's proposed trial class for this huge change. Then another parent just said, clearly just stated, I do not support the possible decision. Another one shared information that they had witnessed in Southgate over a decade ago doing the transition, as they were so eager to shift the grades. Soon after, one of the elementary schools shut down, as well as the middle school. It kind of goes along with saying, just because a friend jumps off the bridge, should we just do the same? We are all aware of the elementary schools are collectively different, but we all share and care for our students for success. And what is our main motivation? Better financials and or money, more space. As I continue to try to keep the emotion out of the situation, I stress that we are continually looking into the logic aspect of this big move. And then another email, and I've got two left here, is that, families have more, the impact on families that have more than one child has been suggested. Idea two around congestion of the areas that this 5-6 building could have. 5th-6th graders, currently these students have a chance to learn and demonstrate leadership skills and act as a role model in the elementary schools and their own to their younger peers. Students ages 10 to 12 should be afforded this opportunity to cultivate leadership and mentoring skills that will serve them well in their future. Now, the current redesign lacks the data and the community support needed to account for a major change, and the levels of uncertainty are being suggested. Instead of haphazardly implementing an unpopular and empirical project, I propose the Monroe Public Schools look at an ad hoc committee. And this person also reflected back on 2010 and all the changes that happened, like our Raysville staff did. And then our last one, very similar to the rest that came in. This person talks about being an advocate for change, but it also thinks in terms of needing more support by others, and that meaning from staff members and from the community. It says here that, thankful for the positive momentum, the effort of the administrators is unbelievable, and the board remains engaged. We've received significant insight from our devoted educators. Shuffling resources makes it extremely difficult to provide an exceptional classroom experience. And then his last point was, with a decision of this magnitude, it would be prudent to explore every plausible alternative, form committees, perform impact studies, and leave no question that we are indeed headed in the best direction possible. So that was the overall gist of the different emails we had received.
Just so everybody's aware that all the board members have received these emails and had a chance to review them. Okay, so we'll open it up for public commentary. Jamie, how many do we have?
Five or six.
Okay. And again, we'll be flexible on the time. We want to give everybody who wants to speak the opportunity to get through their comments. So
we'll go in order of the way they were turned in. We're not going to keep you to the 3-minute time frame tonight. So, but I will let you know where you're at, but feel free to continue beyond. Melissa Kramer is first.
So
I talk loud because I have a teacher voice, so I don't need a microphone. First of all, thank you, all of you, for allowing us to have this special session. I think it's very important, and I know we've heard a lot about why are we rushing this. I really honestly don't believe it's a rush, myself personally. So what we just wait until we do a little bit more research and then find out this is what we need to do. So I the time doesn't factor in for me. So I am actually here to talk more about the positive part about what this could possibly do for our Encore teachers. I'm representing our Encore teachers. So I would like to just start out. I am Melissa Kramer. I've been in the district for 35 years, teaching 30 years at Manor Christian C before it closed, and I also teach at St. Mike's Catholic. So as I begin, I believe this proposal is so much more than just moving our community forward to compete with an ever-changing world. It's the right thing to do for our children and our community. This proposal truly is about equal and quality education for all students. It's about creating space for all teachers and staff to do their jobs effectively. I speak from 35 years in education. Last month, three educators and I, with a combined 98 years of experience, presented to this board about our support of this proposal. Wow, there will always be research out there to counter what we believe. Please take value in our experience to know what is right for our students. This school board has a unique opportunity to truly make a difference in this community, something that in my 35 years has never been done. You have a chance to give every student in this district the same education by getting all teachers off carts and into a space that quality teaching can occur. This proposal allows for art, music, and technology rooms in every building, giving an Encore teacher the space they deserve to give quality instruction. As is true with many school boards, most of you have never been a teacher or spent any time in a school outside your own education. As a result, most of you have minimal understanding of what a teacher does daily. I will give you a true example of a first-year teacher put on a cart to somehow teach over 400 students as effectively as my colleagues did in their own classrooms. Talk about work stress. This is how it goes. I arrive early in the morning, go to a closet, probably not much smaller than yours at home, not much bigger than yours at home. It measures 11 feet by 7 feet. I have floor-to-ceiling shelving units on three of the four walls because the space isn't all mine. I must share the space because there's no other place to store books or science kits, not to mention all the supplies I need to teach 400 plus students for the entire school year. I sit at my student desk and chair because there isn't room for a teacher desk, and I get ready for my day. I pack 75 to 90 student artworks on a cart with all the supplies I need for the next 3 hours. Somehow, not dumping everything on the floor, I look at my water bottle and know I can't use the restroom for the next 3 hours, so I leave it. I also arrive to a room that's not suitable for art because it's a classroom. Somehow expected to teach what my colleagues do. Not to mention that now I must use a classroom teacher's computer to pull up my lesson. While trying to log in and find my assignment, I need to keep 30 students quiet and entertained. I teach the lesson and then I need to somehow get materials to the class. We work for a short time and then it's time to clean up so I can go to my next class. I only have 5 minutes to get from one room to another. Needless to say, not all teachers arrive back on time. So this adds to my stress. Remember, I'm a first-year teacher. I do this for 3 classes in the morning and 3 classes in the afternoon. By the end of every day, I'm drained dry. It's a good thing I'm only 27 years old. And this is my dream job, one that I waited 5 years to get. This is not quality education at any level and has been allowed to happen repeatedly to our Encore teachers. We as educators teach the whole child. We give them life experiences so that one day our students can find a path to a career that they have passion for and become a valued member of society. While test scores are important, putting our focus on just one component in education takes the value and true purpose of what we do as educators. We teach to make productive citizens for our society. That's how we survive as a human race. This proposal is about so much more than just the intermediate building. It's about equality for all teachers and the space to teach effectively. Please vote yes for this proposal. I truly believe it will give all students the full educational experience. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, good evening. My name is Stephanie. I'm a parent and a secretary through MPS. Forgive me because I do not have anything ready, as this was a last minute decision to come here and speak to you guys. I have a now eighth grader and a now fourth grader. One's at Manor, the other one's at the middle school. They're on way different levels of where originally they would be. My oldest, as smart and as brilliant as he is, when he went to eighth grade or seventh grade, he wasn't ready. He wasn't. The workload was different. The class changes were different. All of that plays into how they're going to do emotionally and academically. And I look at my youngest now, and he's in fourth grade now. He's seeing far more than he should by being around some of these fifth and sixth graders that, as much as we want to teach these kids and help these kids, their maturity levels are far higher than our younger ones. They share bathrooms within the same building, in the same hallways. No matter what we do, there is no getting past our younger ones being with fifth and sixth graders. They're going to hear stuff. We're trying to protect, you know, all of the kids, but we also need to think about the younger ones that are hearing things that they might necessarily want to hear, or parents don't necessarily want to hear. You know, and one of our biggest things, and even from when my child was in sixth grade, we do have some behavior issues where our younger students, they can't regulate. They're not taught to regulate and control their emotions. And it does, as much as we don't want to admit it, it affects our older kids. When we have our younger children running the halls screaming and crying and banging on doors, we do have issues where our older kids, they can't focus. They're not getting that education of quiet and the ability to learn and sit there peacefully and take in everything they're hearing. And I just want you guys to keep that into consideration. When we vote on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. My name is Margie Mueller. I currently teach a fifth and sixth grade split at Manor, but I am speaking on behalf of the Manor teachers tonight. Typically when there is change, we hear the negative. We're here to speak positively about the change that we hope that you can help make for our district. So here are some of our greatest concerns operating on our current model. We have a huge lack of space at Manor. We have overloaded classrooms and split classes. Small groups are running in our hallways. Currently, we have four split classes and four classes are on overload. The 5-6 class is on overload, and we're operating, as a split, so that's challenging enough. All of our encore classes would have to operate on a cart next year. Some social-emotional needs have become greater over the years. Some smaller class sizes would really help teachers build relationships with students, and it would positively impact their social and emotional health. Curriculum is a challenge. Our sixth grade curriculum is written to be taught in a middle school setting. A fifth and sixth grade building would allow teachers to specialize in specific content areas. Teachers currently aren't able to target our lowest learners when class sizes are overloaded. We just don't have enough time to meet with all of our small groups adequately. Without consistent intervention, it will take longer for our test scores to improve. Students would be able to gain independence during transitions to better prepare them for middle school and the years beyond. So if you decide to vote no on this decision tomorrow, our question to you is how will you address these issues in our building, specifically our class sizes, school of choice, and lack of space? Due to border adjustments in recent years and school of choice, our student population has outgrown our building. We encourage you to make a change.
Thank you.
Nice. I think this thing's tall enough. I'm already nervous. Hi, my name's Dana Kramer. I'm an instructional assistant 101 at Raisinville. I actually come quite neutral with a heavy heart. I think I'm speaking more for the kids than anything. I can't speak for every kid, just like I can't speak for every instructional assistant or every teacher. I'd like to try to see the positive things. I think anybody that I work with could tell you that. My only concern is that within the year or more that I've been at Raisinville, we don't have the proper support already, including like we're shuffling around our social workers and, you know, we're low on assistance and even one-on-ones, RBTs. I mean, we don't even really have to go there because we don't really have a lot of those either. And let alone it is hard to find people to be employed for those, I understand. But I guess I just want to come from the perspective of, as long as we can show that we'll have the support for these kids, and my heart goes out to these teachers, I guess I wouldn't want my career to be on a card either, because that would be really taxing during the day, and I understand that. But I feel like collectively as a board, like we need to come together because there has to be other options for them too. But I think the number one concern from my perspective is the all-around support that we're getting for our students. They kind of have it, but will they have it now? So right now what we're seeing is we do have little friends that have meltdowns, but thankfully to the proper training, and we work with Mr. Hoppert and his son Andrew, who a lot of you know, we work through our CPI. You know, we're very well trained at de-escalating without even going straight to our holds. We have a really good bond with these children, and I think with the proper staffing and stuff, that would be more implemented. And then we'll see a little less friends banging on the doors in the hallways. But with that being said, we tried the shuffle thing, and I haven't been MPS very long, so I did some research and reading, and I understand about the closings, but I don't have to touch the topic. We've broken that record already, right? But I will say that if we don't have the support now, take some time on this before you do it. Get this support together. And I understand, like, the agony of these teachers now. I don't have the educational experience, but I'm also not going to put down the assistants. We are the glue to the situations that some people don't have, I think, the full heart for. It's very hard to do what we do, let alone just kind of bounce right back, especially when we see these children. My student is in fifth grade, and will be moving forward. And I worry about, will he have the student have the same support when they go on? So I understand we have to, like I told Mr. Shaw in my letter, that emotional detachment. But at the same time, we're the voice for these kids. We have to advocate for them. And I'm not here to step on any toes. I think everybody deserves a classroom. Everybody deserves more space. Everybody deserves a chance. But my main concern are these children. So everybody can be upset. That's fine. But I want to make sure that they have what they need. And if you guys can just look at that, and even if you got to wait a year, heck, wait a year. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And the bridge thing is true. Just because every other district did it, we don't have to jump to. Just wait a minute. I think everything comes in good time. So I'm just asking for you to wait. And I give all my best to the teachers this year. We all deserve it. Thank you.
That what I wanted to talk about really doesn't fit directly into what our conversation is tonight, so I'll postpone until another time. Okay.
Yep. We have a board meeting tomorrow night if you want to talk to that. Is that it? Okay. Then I'll open it up to the board for any comments from the board. Larry? Good. Carrie?
I've been reading lots of emails and lots of research, and I appreciate all of the
all of our stakeholders, parents, teachers, and staff.
Okay.
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Darla?
I agree with Carrie, and it means a lot when I sit up here and I see all of you out there, because we sit here because of all of you out there, and we sit here to try to represent this community in the best way that we can. And I think someone said it recently, not everybody is going to be happy with every decision is made, but I do have to share your sentiment in the fact that there is an opportunity maybe down the road that we're missing. I did want to bring up, and I mentioned to Andy, I did bring up the teacher certifications when I asked for what information. That was something I did ask for. So I hear you all talking about certifications, and I am not versed on it because I haven't reviewed that. So my apologies for understanding anything you're saying when it relates to that. There's a lot of things that we sit up here and we look at, and I just told Tom, I said, this is my packet for trying to put what I need to into this. So when I make my decision, I can say why I made my decision. And all of that research and all that data led to a point where, you know, you hear someone say, you know, enough's enough. Like, you got enough data. You got enough research. What else is there? And my what else is always the same sentiment that people shared here. It's the children. And it's the kids. And I was glad people brought up about mental health and the impact that transitions, sudden movements can have on students, because I think that that is an important component that we need to look at. I don't want to sit here and go over everything because you all said it so well. There were some things that were said related to the sixth grade and the two teachers sort of co-teaching. I thought that was a nice idea that could be maybe implemented now. The other thing is, one thing that concerns me is when we as a community, and I'm looking at Monroe at large, when we say, there's a concern for sharing our concerns. There's a statement that we say, I don't want to, you know, cause anybody to see me in a negative light because I may have a difference than you. And if nothing else comes out of this, I hope that that's one thing that we can highlight and say, you know, just like we say, every voice matters. Like, what is it? One student at a time, or one student at a time. I can't remember how it is. But anyway, sorry. I thought maybe you'd know it off the top of your head. But, you know, that we can understand that we're not always going to agree, but there is a way forward. I don't know if this is a time where we're going to share what we think. I think everybody knows what I think because I'm pretty clear what I think. I do think that the best laid plans forward are those that actually have a plan. We talked about calculated risk. We talked about putting something forward that people are comfortable with. I don't get into this all or none thing. I think that there's ways to do it and ways to do things that can be where I always want to see a 7-0 vote. I think that would be nice.
Okay. Thanks, Darla.
7-0 vote would be nice. You know, I spent the last week traveling around all the different schools, meeting with the administrators, talking to the staff, trying to get the input, you know, and I would ask each one of them, you know, what is it I can do for you? You know, what is it that you need? You know, the biggest concern I heard was space. And the only space they seemed to have extra was at Arborwood South, you know. And then I listened to these teachers, you know, and I said since day one when I came in here, I'm on your side, period, you know. And whatever you want, I want to do that for you. And there were some wonderful demonstrations. And I swear, if I had a magic wand and I could just use it, you know, and spend some pixie dust and make all your concerns go away, and make everything the way you want it to be. I would. I truly would. I told my wife, I said, this really has me in a quandary. You know, it really does. Just, I did this. I ran for the school board strictly for one reason, was to help these kids. That's it. And that's all I really want to do. And I wish that I can make the right decision tomorrow night for all of you. Okay? I guess that's all I got.
Stacy?
I just have to say the priority is the children, of course, and then our staff and making staff, the teachers, and all the ancillary staff happy. Unfortunately, I don't think that's possible to make everybody happy. I am concerned about the timeline with all the projects going on, even other than the redistricting. And also, Mrs. Deck brought up teacher certifications. Do we have the teachers that are qualified to do the team teaching? That's about it.
Okay. Mary?
So, just thank you for all the public commentary and for the emails, like my board colleagues have said. So one of the emails that Andy, you read earlier today, it pinged in my brain because it was a question that I wrote down as I was taking notes, is that for the switching of classes and preparing our fifth and sixth graders to do that skill later on, is there an opportunity to do that in our elementary schools currently that would allow us more flexibility when it comes to teacher certifications because they would be housed in our elementary schools and that technically they could just do it as like a team teaching situation at an elementary school? I don't know. There could be flexibility there when it comes to teacher certifications, ? And then I was also thinking, obviously, like as an Encore teacher, one of the previous Encore teacher, not currently, but my obviously having the experience of being on a CART and being extremely limited in the curricula that you can do while you're on a CART, that obviously speaks to me. So my question is, how, like, the spacing in general, I understand that we're going to be pooling assets in the 5-6 plan, right? I understand that concept. And I also thank you for the building plans that we saw at our last board meeting where it laid out each of the elementary schools and showing us grade levels per classroom and which ones would be used for encores and all of that. So I guess I'm just curious, I just, in my brain, like the math isn't mathing, but that's just me. I'm not saying that the math is incorrect. It's just, it feels like I'm struggling to understand how all of a sudden we're gonna have all this extra space when we go to the 5-6 model. However, it was there in front of me. I just need to understand, like, I need to sit down. I need to reflect. That's a me thing. I'm just speaking out loud. Okay, and then lastly, the other thing that kind of came up in conversations with what was shared with public commentary, what was shared in emails, is that I'm concerned that our school community, not just the people who are employed by Monroe Public Schools, not just the families that have our students, that, you know, are parents to our students, but just broadly, our community doesn't feel connected to this. And that is a big, big, big concern. So that makes me feel like we didn't do our part in engaging our community in an effective way. So I feel that we need to do some more due diligence in doing surveys, in doing, pushing out and asking for feedback. Because yes, public commentary, thank you. However, I'm gonna say things that might upset some people right now, and I apologize in advance. If we look at the demographics in this room, we feel a little similar right now. So what I'm saying is this actually reflecting what our community is? Is this reflecting the students that we serve? Is this reflecting the community that we serve? Or are we getting a fairly surface level of feedback? Now, I don't know the names of all the, I don't know all the human beings that sent us emails, but I'm also concerned that that similar surface level of feedback might be coming to us in the other avenues of feedback as well. So I am now very concerned about one, two sides of that coin, right? The feedback that we got about how people don't feel engaged, about how people don't feel like they have a voice, about how people felt like they were not considered in this. That's a big concern. The other side is, I am also very concerned in the feedback that we have gotten not being robust and also representative of our community. I am not saying, I am not discrediting that the feedback that we've gotten is not wonderful and meaningful. It is. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't provide the depth, the breadth, and the scope of what we need to say, we now have representation of our school district to make this decision. That's all.
Thanks, Mary.
Can we respond?
Hold off.
Before we, before I comment, would some of the administration like to make comments as well? David, Terry, Cassie, anybody? Give you the opportunity.
I just want to say, as I'm not part of the in-depth of the curriculum team, as far as operations and technology, I do walk the buildings. And I think of when I first started, and I think if I was going to make this a clean slate, would I set the district up this way? And my answer would be no. And I'm concerned as well with the space, because again, we hire a lot of people in this district, and we're not giving them all the resources to do their job effectively. Now, I know there's a lot of good pros and cons to this system that we're proposing, but I then take a step back and I think of Ms. Joseph, Mrs. Flynn, Mr. Milo Epstein, Mr. Shaw, and I have to divert to their years of experience, which is well north of 100 and some years of experience. I hate to say, I mean, but you know, even me and Cassie,
thank you.
It's a lot of experience. So, thanks, Terry. But you do, you have to look at that, and I have to sit back and say, you know, we put a lot of thought into this. This wasn't just something that I think we just thought this would be a good thing. Let's try it, see how it works. There's a lot of thought in this. Mr. Griffin, I respected as a principal when he was here at the middle school, and I was here when he went. So when you have people that step up and all the teachers, pro and cons, you got to take that. But again, we have to do what's right for the kids. And for us, 20 years ago, you didn't have 1,200 employees in this district. We didn't have class sizes of 20. Somewhere, something's got to give. And I think, to me, this plan addresses that. And in my opinion, just my opinion, I feel that this plan will do more good than bad. And I support the recommendation. So that's my opinion. Thanks, Mr. Heck, for hearing me.
Terry, would you like to speak?
Thank you. So first of all, thank you to all of you for being here tonight. One of the things that I know that unites every single one of us in this room, regardless of what our opinion is that we all want to see what is best for students in Monroe Public Schools, those students that we currently serve and that those students that we will be serving in the future. And I think we all recognize what an important decision this proposal is. This would be a different way to think about the configurations of our elementary schools that we have not had as a district before. Mm-hmm. So even though, you know, we've had a lot of conversation and there are a lot of pros and cons, like there's not one perfect solution moving forward. So just to highlight a few things, one of the things that we have shared is that there is no definitive research that makes a declaration about the best way to configure elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools that will produce the best student achievement. I think if there was a best way, that every school in the nation would be doing that. And I don't think we'd be engaged in this conversation right now if there was that research to support it. So then that leaves us as school districts, whether it's in Monroe, Michigan, or it's in another state, you know, we have to look at the resources that we have. And when we think about the resources that we have, it's our staffing, it's our buildings, it's what the size of our buildings is, it's the financial resources that we have, and then marry all of that together with the community that we serve to make the best decisions moving forward. Another thing just to think about is at our last board meeting, or perhaps it was a workshop session, we shared a draft plan of what we think this could look like in a 5-6 intermediate school. And when we brought people together to think about it, it was a small team of people because we know that we can't make all of the decisions until that team is in place. So when we met and we talked, one of the things that we know needs to be done in the event the 5-6 intermediate becomes a reality is we need to really think about the strengths that exist in the experience that children receive in an elementary building, along with what are we preparing them for middle school. So what is that part of the middle school experience that we need to think of? So, you know, I think there are incredibly talented people in this district. There are incredibly smart people who know a lot about kids and who have been a part of this community for a long time. And I believe that we can create something that will meet the needs of the kids. And one of the things that we have talked about time and time again, which is incredibly important, is the transitions. So how do we transition students from a fourth grade elementary experience to a fifth grade intermediate experience, and then a sixth grade intermediate to a seventh grade middle school? And then thinking about the current transitions that we have in place, our eighth graders to ninth grade, and then our preschoolers to kindergarten. It is a big conversation, and it really is a big deal. And thinking carefully and thoughtfully is going to be really important. But again, I personally believe in the power and the strength of the team that we have to make this happen for our children, for our community. I agree with Dave in that we do not see the timeline as a problem. We do believe that we can get this work done. We do believe that we can do it effectively and efficiently. It's just, we just have such great people here in the district, and we know we can make this work for our kids.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Terry. Cassie, would you?
Thank you, President Heck. I don't have a lot of other things to share. I am also not just an employee. I do have three students in the district, one at the middle school and two at Manor. And the transition for my daughter from sixth to seventh grade was a big deal. She was very nervous about it. She's been doing well at the middle school, but I know in fifth and sixth grade, you know, it was just, she felt a little out of place being such a big kid when there's a lot of other little kids, but that's her experience. I think that there's no set way to make everyone satisfied and everybody happy. We're all different. We all have different experiences. But I think I've seen the work that the rest of the team here has put in to being thoughtful about this proposed plan, and I think it has the potential to have a positive impact on the students. And I'm not an educator by trade by any means, and I hear your concerns. My opinion is my own. But I feel like we're at the point in some of our buildings with the number of students that we have to make a change to be able to have the sustainability in the buildings. And I am in support of the plan, and that's kind of all I have. And I'll echo the same things that Terry and Dave said as well.
Thanks, Cassie. Jamie, did you want to make any comments?
Okay. But one quick question. Is it too late for somebody to put in public commentary?
No. Let's
right. So,
let me
fill up that slip and we'll get you in after
this. Yeah, let me get through Cindy and David. Cindy?
Yes. Thank you, President. I have had experience at the middle level. I've had experience at the elementary level. And I most recently spent the last few weeks of my career last school year at an elementary with fifth and sixth graders. And fifth and sixth graders, I know there's a man that worked for the district, his name was Lee Randall. I don't know if any of you remember him, but he would always say to people that were kind of over kids at this point, or their behaviors, he would say, it's not them, it's you, you're just getting older. And you know what, Lee, God rest his soul, he probably was right in a lot of ways, but there was one thing that I don't think Lee in his grand thoughts could have ever imagined, what social media and what kids know today. And fourth and fifth graders and sixth graders even are not like they used to be. Like fourth graders are kind of like sixth graders now, and I determined that, and it was really action research, because I had something every day that would show me that. But I think that with what's happening at Waterloo, and it's going to be spectacular when you see it for a K-4 learning environment, you are gonna think, and that would be something we would want for every building to look like. I think that you will see there's been far more planning and far more thought in what we want for our kids. Because if our kids don't get it in grades K through 4, they're not going to get it. And we know that. So I'm very pro. A 5-6 building would be right up my alley if I was 20 years younger. And because those are my people. I love kids and I love that age level. But I think that the team has just really done their due diligence and has really done a lot of nice work. And I appreciate all of you, and I just think it's a great idea, a great thing for Monroe.
Cindy, David?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to give a brief story. I was in Waterloo last year, and I asked directions from a very nicely dressed staff member, very polite. I asked what she did there, and then she goes, "I don't know. I'm in sixth grade." Okay, so she, and that is a true story. So to your point, some of our sixth grade students are they're grown up, they're mature, and I understand and hear the concerns. I'm a lifelong secondary educator. I taught middle school for 6 years, a very brief stint as a 5-8 administrator, and I mean very brief. But then I spent the majority of my time at a junior high, and what I think our plan did was really take the strengths of a middle school and combine them and meld them with the non-negotiables that need to be present in a new building from the elementary schools. I think of increased student opportunity. I think of the large task that the middle school has in the creating of a culture, in the creating of a family, with that transition when those kids have been separate for 6 or 7 years. And I think what an opportunity to have at the 5-6 level to bring everyone together as a family. And the last little piece was, we know that aside from student safety and school safety, it's academic achievement. And I think specializing our core teachers into two content areas at the 5-6 level is a fantastic idea and thing to try. So thank you, Mr. President.
Let's before I speak, let's go. I think we have two more public Lane. Commentary.
Lane, can you come up?
Blair.
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 Oh, I'm sorry. Blair.
So good. So going up in front of all of you is extremely intimidating because I have a big personality, but I'm very timid and I'm not well articulated. So I'm going to come up in front of you as a single parent of one student who excels and another one who is battling severe mental health issues. Sorry. What I see as a difficulty with this whole situation is that I am a one-on-one and I have been with this student for now 2 years. I've been with the district for 3. There are everyday, normal academic children in this district that struggle themselves with transitioning, let alone the children who have IEPs that don't understand why there's indoor recess, why can't we go outside? I need that burst of energy to, you know, come out of me to, you know, going from this classroom to this classroom, or even as simple as, okay, we need to stop math, it's time for lunch. But to uproot all of those people and shuffle them around and thinking that this is the best choice when clearly from what I've heard from a lot of different people is that the issue seems to be the space within each of the elementary schools. And why can't we use those funds to help better those schools so that there aren't encore teachers on carts? And the staffing, it's ridiculous, you know, with support staff, we're already stretched thin. How, if we can't provide the students that we have now with needs, with the support, how do we know that the kids that are going to be there, and there's going to be more than, is there going to be sustainable staffing that is going to attend to their needs? And I ask you this because I need you to listen, to hear, not to answer. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Next we have Allison.
Ellie. I'm coming to you as a parent of 3 Monroe students. My youngest is in 5th grade. And I have a lot of concerns. One of them is transportation. Somebody mentioned the little kids are hearing things from the big kids. We currently have middle school students on buses with high schoolers. We currently have 6th graders on buses with high schoolers if they're going to the middle school. And let me tell you, those 6th graders are hearing an awful lot. Those high schoolers are saying an awful lot. Okay, let's be real. The middle schoolers are saying an awful lot. I'm not comfortable with this. I have not heard anything that makes me think we're going to have transportation figured out to not have 10-year-olds on the buses with 18-year-olds. I'm not comfortable with a 10-year-old on the bus with an 18-year-old. I work at a high school. I see what comes off the bus. I see the problems that we have on the buses with 18-year-olds, and that is something I am very uncomfortable with my 10 or my 11-year-old seeing this. And then one other thought, we're talking about team teaching, and early in my career, I was not a classroom teacher, I was reading recovery, and I've been at 2 different middle schools where they've been able to team teach 6th grade, 5th grade, all the way down to 3rd. So I know this was before some certification rules, so I have to, you know, understand some of these certifications have changed. I'm high school. They say you can teach all the sciences as long as you're, you know, between 8th and 12th. I'm, you know, I know it's different for my elementary friends. I don't know if this is going to be our best. I think my fear is we're rushing into this. We haven't thought about the minutia, which is things like how are we getting our kids to our schools? And I think you're going to find a lot of parents, that's one of our big concerns, is putting those 10-year-olds on the bus. And to address the carts, I have friends that are on, have done the on the cart. I know that it's not easy. I know it's very difficult. So I understand that that's one of the concerns. But thank you.
Thank you. Is that it? Okay. Just a few comments from myself. Again, thank you to everybody for your comments, for your input, whether it was on through the emails, whether you've attended previous work sessions, this work session. Certainly, this has been very educational for me. I'm not a teacher, but my wife was a teacher for many years in Monroe for kindergarten, and she's certainly not shy to give me her opinion on this. And I also have a sister-in-law who did teach fourth through sixth grade here at Monroe. So I've gotten a lot of input from both of them, which has been helpful for me to try and understand this, because I will tell you, other than Mr. Griffin here, who's probably, I won't tell your age, but when I went to school, I went to Custer all the way through ninth grade, so I understand transitions. We had virtually no transition other than going from the small building to the big building. Although it was a little bit similar in that the small building when I was there was basically a fourth, fifth, sixth school. And then we jumped over to the big building to do seventh, eighth, and ninth grades. So that experience is a little bit different than what's going on today, as well as just for me, it was very eye-opening when I got on the board to understand all the additional support positions and staff. Obviously, back then, there was teachers, and that was basically it, just teachers. There was no behavioral technicians, there was no social workers, no interventionists. So obviously the demands for space are much different today than they were back then. So everything that I've heard here tonight, different work sessions, what I've heard from the administration has certainly been very educational. And I can tell you, some of you may think that we've already made up our minds. I can speak for myself for sure. I've gone back and forth on this as I've gotten more and more information, even tonight. So it's going to be a difficult decision when we get around to it tomorrow night. But again, thank you for all your comments. Let me just, is anyone have additional comments? I'll go around once more if you do have additional comments. Darla, did you do?
Yeah. So I don't know if most of you attend. I know someone here said this is their first work session. In a typical work session, it's us converging with each other and having discussions back and forth on different areas, different topics, how we see it and how we view it, because that's how a board works. And we operate in the public, so everything we do and all our discussions are held here. So this work session has run a little bit different in the aspect that we're not conversing in the way that we typically would. So I'm going to jump back and be like, I'm going to converse like I typically would. I hear sitting here tonight, and I've always had a lot of concerns. I have had a list of concerns since this started, because I remember back in June, I was just sharing with Tom, at a board meeting, we were still talking about what was up with Waterloo. And that was in June of last year, and here we are in February, and we're talking about an entire footprint change for the entire Monroe Public School System. So super sonic mode and my mode, because typically this, essentially this got to the board in October, is when it really got started, and Andy had all his meetings and stuff. But we've spent a lot of time on this. We've spent a lot of discussion on this. I think that what I hear the most is, and I think what I do, is I'm not opposed to really good ideas. I'm not opposed to change. I'm not opposed to people saying there's a better way to do things. What I am opposed to is not something that, that Mary had brought up earlier, is looking at the calculated risk of all things. I think there's a lot of components that would deserve better being talked about more. Staffing's one of them. Certifications is a big deal tonight. I didn't realize how big of a deal it is, but obviously that's a big deal that I know we as a board didn't really address. I listened to the mental health issues, and I'm glad that people brought them up, because someone caught me out in the community and said, hey, do you know how hard it is for people with ADHD to make change? Do you know how hard it is for them to change from the one hall to the other hall for the next year, and how hard it is to make change? And sometimes people just need to be prepared. You know, when you say I'm selling the house, and you tell someone a week before you're selling it, that's a big upheaval in the home. But if everybody knows a year in advance that the house is going to be sold in a year, everybody has time to put their stuff in order, get their rooms in order, and prepare for what that next move looks like. I think that as I hear everybody, even people that I would say are opposed to this, or maybe opposed to some components of it, the clear answer is I don't hear people saying no all the way across the board. What I hear is people saying, let's give it some time. Let's give it some time. Let's think about this. Let's look at this. And let's give it more time. And then I hear, like David mentioned, Dave mentioned that, you know, a lot of time's been put into this. Well, on our end, a lot of time has not been put into this. I'm always like, if you bring me an idea, bring me two. Bring me two, maybe three. That way we can look and we can discern what is the best that's going to go in, because ultimately we have to make the decision. And we, like I think Mary or Stacy said, we're not going to make everybody happy, but what is the least impact on the kids? And I bring this up ever since a parent brought it up, is, you know, there are students in our district, and I'm going to say everybody unless you're in kindergarten or first grade, that experienced the 2 years of non-in-person education. That had a major impact on students, very big impact on students. I don't think we even understand how big of an impact that had. And the parent said, these are the same kids you want to take out of elementary school, where they never got the full elementary experience. They didn't even get themselves settled back into I hear people talking about a social environment, and you're going to use them as the let's try. So I think that I implore my fellow board members to think about the timing, to think about, you know, going forward, we don't always have to be, it's either now or never. It can be, let's take a look and see what we can work out. Nobody wants anybody to be on carts. Nobody wants anybody less. But we talk about enrollment. Our enrollment is decreasing. It's not increasing. Our student population is decreasing. And I think that those are things we also need to look at as well. And I think the strategic analysis and whatever you want to call it was a census that is going to continue to decrease at a more rapid rate. What is that based on census data? I believe one in Andy. So those are things that we need to take into effect. There is a new administration in Washington. Not one of my opinion. If you like it or you don't like it, I have no qualm there. But it is going to impact things happening in this district, and school of choice is a very big component. So I think of doing something like this in the midst of that, I also think is probably a bit quick. Probably, like, we didn't expect that, but it's there, and now it's something we have to deal with. I think there's some other things that are also coming, some big changes that are going to have to be dealt with rapidly and quickly. So I think that a no doesn't have to be a no. A no can be, it can be a let's wait. And that's what I would like to put forward. Hope that anybody considers that.
Yeah, thanks, Darla. Anybody else want any last? Then Superintendent Shaw, if you want your comments.
So first and foremost, again, as it's been said, thank you. When we first began doing this work, we said we would listen, and we have. And please know that
as Tom even alluded, when it came to a decision being made, I sit in the same spot because we do see the progress in our student achievement. We see all that's going on and going, okay, can we continue to do what's happening right there? And it's only because I believe in every single one of our educators and staff members we have is makes me believe that, yes, we can make this happen. And so when this all came about, it started just as a conversation amongst different staff members coming to me and saying, hey, can we have a conversation here? And so it's brought it forward to this stage because, like we said, one of the ideas has been around, hey, if the sixth graders could fit in the middle school, that'd be great. I'm still gonna argue the point that that may still not be even the best situation, you know, when we look at what's going on. So as we start to really look at all that we're doing right here, I think in terms of how do we just always keep moving forward, but this discussion we've had over the last few months has just been helpful. And as I've said right along, we're going to listen. To answer your question is we have to always think about one student at a time. And can we impact that one child at a time? And that's what I've seen our school district do time in and time out. And so, you know, I know that we've given our board a lot of information. You've given the Board of Education a lot of information. And that's what our job is as administrators, is to present it, to try and stay holistic in it. And so I thank everyone for sharing with our board. And know that whatever decision the Board of Education makes, still Monroe Public Schools, and Monroe Public Schools will be high achieving. And so I truly just want to say thank you for everyone for this process, and that's all I've got for tonight.
Thank you, Superintendent Shaw. That completes our agenda for tonight. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Show of hands? Okay. Thank you, and again, thank you for everybody for attending tonight.
Thank you, everybody.